back. I'm back from the dead. She's awake and she's excited to be here and ready to do a lot of reflecting. I think this episode's really just going to be a jumble of things I've been thinking about recently as in the last month, where I haven't put anything out there. First of all, just like a quick check-in, I guess, what I've been up to. I have been doing school. It's the winter semester, so things are, you know, going at the pace they're going at. I find the winter semester really jarring because it's like, oh, I'm used to this at this point. I've had one semester already. I had a nice break during December. Like, I feel ready. I feel rested. And then you just get, like, thrown into it and you realize, like, whoa, hang on. Maybe I wasn't ready for this. And so I've been dealing with a little bit of that, of just feeling a little jostled, a little, I guess, unready for the pace at which things are expected to move in terms of generating papers and just generally having a consistent presence with the material that I'm learning. And what's great for me is that I adore what I'm studying. I feel really lucky. I feel really fortunate that, like, the classes I'm in are setting my soul on fire in so many good ways. But, you know, my body is just not where it was in the fall. It's just, like, not ready for a pace that's quicker than a snail, let's say. I'm really feeling like things just need to move slowly for me right now, and that's okay. But it does mean that I've had a little bit of a hard time finding a well-balanced, I guess, circle with school and with my personal life and my relationships and this sweet little podcast that I have really been missing. And, like, I'm not kidding when I say I've been thinking about it and you all the past month, where I haven't really been present on this platform. I've been doing a lot of reflecting on, like, where I want to move forward. It's been 2 years, which is fucking wild. And so, yeah, I have been thinking about it a lot, and that's partially why I've been, like, waiting to record, because I really wanted to be in a place of, like, true presence and authenticity when I finally sat down to record, and not just, like, recording for the sake of generating an episode. And so, yeah, that's where I'm coming at you today. I'm feeling super excited to finally be chatting, and I'm alone in my apartment for the next couple of weeks. Marco is on a sweet little family vacation, and so I have had a lot of time to, you know, sit with my thoughts, and he literally only left on Friday, and it's Sunday right now, so it hasn't been that long. But when you live with someone and you're used to, you know, like, having a lot of banter and talking a lot and always having someone to come home to and spill all the tea to, it is, like, quite jarring when you're the only one living in this space now, and, like, you're coming home to yourself and your thoughts, and, like, you're like, oh wait, hang on, I haven't spoken in, like, 24 hours. And so yeah, so this is exciting for me that I just get to sit down and talk nonstop, and hopefully you will enjoy that. So I guess, in the spirit of reflection and talking about things I've been thinking about recently, and also connecting that back to this break I've taken from the podcast, one of the things that I've really been resting on is this idea of aloneness and the clarity of aloneness, meaning how being alone, being intentionally alone, and choosing to isolate yourself, I suppose, for lack of a better word, can act as this clarifying source for shedding light to particular patterns of thinking and of desiring, and really lead to these realizations of who you are at your core, what you need to work on, what life you want to be living, these, like, big old ideas that I find when I choose to be alone with myself for a certain period of time, these things become really clear to me in like how I approach my daily routines, how I fill my days when it's not measured in relation to somebody else. And I had this moment this month of trying to identify the exact point at which my aloneness had teetered a little too close to isolation and avoidance. And as someone who feels really grounded in spending time alone, it's easy for me sometimes to let a week go by, prioritizing this time on my own rather than reaching out to spend time with other people. This pipeline, if you will, from self-caring to self-isolating became really apparent to me this month. And for me, this is often really connected to my period cycle. I tend to feel really introspective and reflective and like crazy, crazy, crazy sensitive to other people's energies, which I think is really normal. But yeah, most of the time what I crave during this time is just a lot of alone time to journal, make art, bake, cry, light candles, read books. And because I'm so comfortable in this dynamic with myself, I don't always question whether it's actually serving me for the better or if it's, you know, bringing me away from the things in my life that would actually be super helpful. And usually for me, most of the time for the first few days that I'm bleeding on my period, it totally is what I need, is just alone time. I just need some solitude, some quiet, some slowness, gentleness. And I know that I can trust myself to deliver those needs. And because I get so comfy in this cozy, slow world of mine that I know I'm so good at creating, I forget that there's this like whole other world outside my apartment, my neighborhood, my little corner of the city, full of people and places and things that will definitely hold me tenderly if I just ask them to and give them the chance to. So I've been thinking a lot about this, specifically this month when I like had a week and a half where I basically stayed. Yeah, I stayed in my neighborhood, most of the time was in my apartment, was just like really not wanting to connect outside of that little corner of reality. And for the first few days, it was fucking glorious. It was like exactly what I needed. It was so tender, so sweet. I was just like really listening to what my gut was telling me to do, making all my decisions based on that. And I got really comfy. I got really comfy in this little routine of mine. And I used this comfort as a sort of justification to continue isolating myself for the rest of the week, which wasn't the worst decision of the world. Like, you know, it wasn't hurting anyone. I was just absent outside of the little realm I was nurturing within my own corner. And so because of this little time I had this month, I've been thinking a lot about the specialness of being alone and how restorative and replenishing it can feel for so many reasons, but also keeping in mind that it isn't always the answer. It's not this like constant truth, if you will. This is like hard for me, especially during winter when it feels like such a task to lug myself out of my apartment, bundle up in all my layers, and hop on public transit and go somewhere that will definitely feel less comfortable, less safe even. But separating my intuition, my gut feelings of like what I feel like I need right now, what I desire right now, and separating that very clearly from any anxieties of feeling unsafe or unheld or uncomfortable, this separation is what helps me to poke a hole in that little bubble that I've created for myself and expand myself into another realm so I don't slip deeper into that isolation. So recognizing that my intuition is different from my anxiety, and my intuition, my gut feelings can definitely sometimes be tainted by those feelings of anxiousness and feeling scared of being unsafe or uncomfortable or just like unprotected, which definitely serves its benefits and is, you know, it's a survival technique. We're animals and we have these feelings in our bodies that tell us when we should feel unsafe, and then we protect ourselves and we, you know, do what we can to work through those feelings. But I think what's slippery for me is that I will often like brush off that questioning process by saying like, oh yeah, no, this is what my gut is telling me, when it's really just this feeling of anxiety that I'm having about bringing myself out of my comfort zone. And what's interesting is that like during my period, that's when I'm most connected to that intuitive, reflective, introspective side of myself. And so I feel really connected to my capacity to make decisions and to trust that I'm doing what's right for me and what feels best for me. But because at this same time, I'm so sensitive to so many things, whether it's people or sounds or foods or places or just like ideas in general, I use my intuition as this like guidepost for separating myself from all of those things and not really knowing when to cross that line again, like when to kind of let my guard down and be like, okay, like I was really sensitive at that point and couldn't handle that, but now I'm ready. Like I have a hard time, I guess, breaking out of that bubble and remembering, I guess, that my intuition has more to say than just, you know, protect yourself from this particular thing at this particular time. And that there's a lot of nuance to that, and that it is up to me to break out of that comfort zone and remind myself that there is a world outside of this little haven I've created for myself in my apartment. So yeah, I've just been doing a lot of reflecting on the pipeline between self-care to self-isolation and how that gets exacerbated by winter. It's just too easy to stay hibernated and to stay cozy and not go anywhere, especially when there's just so much sensitivity floating around, whether it's connected to the lack of light that really affects you, or if you're on your period, or if, you know, you're going through something. It's really easy to slip into that pattern of, you know, getting really comfortable in staying exactly where you are and staying there even past the point where it's serving you and it's giving you something nourishing and it's actually probably sabotaging you a little bit. So now that I'm like on the other side of that and I have quite a bit of social energy and I'm like really excited to spend time with people, and I also feel, you know, really stable and really grounded in my time with myself, especially now that I have the apartment to myself. I get to move at my own pace and just like go with the flow. I can just look back at that time and be really thankful that I was so introspective and aware of the dynamics that were going on, and be really grateful for what it offered me, and also recognize that for next time, if I find myself slipping back into that pattern, I will maybe have a better chance at pulling myself out of it, because I'll recognize the signs or the thought patterns or the tendencies that I was slipping into that led me to isolate for just like a tad too long. And I know this because I got coffee with a friend a few days ago, and it was like one of my first times hanging out with someone other than myself or Marco, or like FaceTiming my mom or my sister or whoever. And I just felt like so socially awkward. It was so funny. And I think she was in a similar boat and we kind of giggled about it. But anyway, and just like, you know, letting that be what it is. If you have been in a period of like massive isolation and you're feeling a little awkward or a little, you know, uncomfortable hanging out with people, that's okay. You can just laugh it off and be like, you know what? This is okay. This is human. This is me. This is where I'm at right now. And we're just going to relish in the awkwardness, because that's really all that life is. And if we're pretending that life isn't awkward as fuck, then like, what are we doing? Okay, moving on. I wanted to, in the same kind of spirit, I wanted to talk about embodiment practices for self-knowledge and self-intimacy, which I think is this general theme of the podcast, I guess, now that I've been talking for 15 minutes about this like introspectiveness. I wanted to just share a few things that have been bringing me a lot of groundedness and a lot of joy lately. And you've probably heard a lot of these. They're not, you know, groundbreaking or anything. I'm not making big moves over here. But things like free writing in my journal, For me, the act of free writing is really revolutionary. And I was introduced to this by one of my favorite professors who often integrates this into her lessons, either like at the start of class or, you know, after we've had this like big discussion or right before a big discussion of free writing your thoughts on something, like not over intellectualizing, not overthinking, just like writing whatever comes to mind. And this was really hard for me at first because I do over-intellectualize literally everything, especially when it comes to my thoughts and my experiences and my feelings. I have this tendency to think that, like, if I can think my way through something, then it's fixed, which, you know, is, like, so problematic for so many reasons. But anyway, so yeah, free writing in my journal, often, like, first thing, just, like, dumping, I don't know, a dream I've had or something I might be anxious about for the day, something I'm really grateful for, whatever feelings I wake up with, just like dumping it out on the page. And whether this takes up a quarter of the page or I write for 4 pages, it doesn't really matter, so long as I get some sort of release from it. Another sweet little thing in the morning that I really love to do is listening to music or putting on a podcast first thing, and that being like the only thing I use my phone for within the first hour. Obviously, this, you know, changes if I'm working really early or if I have class and like don't want to wake up 2 hours before. So yeah, that's, I guess, like contextual, but I find it's really nice to just like put my phone, you know, far away where I can't reach it after I put on a fucking bumpin' playlist or a really comforting podcast or like something stimulating that I can just like have to keep me company first thing. This is especially nice now that I have the apartment alone to myself, and I don't have someone to, you know, like roll over and talk to first thing. It's nice to just have a little bit of stimulation when I first wake up and ease me into the day when I like make my coffee or I do a little face mask or do some dishes if there's some left over from the other night. So that's like a fun little thing that I find really helps me to just like comfortably fall into the rhythm of the day and just like start off on a very sweet note. Another major thing that I feel like I talk about a lot is dancing, especially when I make food. I find this is when I have my like most epic dance parties, is when I'm making dinner. It's just like, you know, turning off all the lights, lighting some candles, swirling my spatula around in the pan while ABBA plays in the background, like just dancing in general whenever you get a second, even if it's just a little wiggle, even if it's just tapping your toes to the beat of a song, twirling whenever you get a second. Dancing is like the number one embodiment practice I think that I would just like really try to be silly with. Like, it doesn't need to be this beautiful ballet. It can just be you wiggling your butt in the kitchen as you make some toast in the morning. Along these same lines of movement, just like going on daily walks, a fucking classic. Hot girl walks are real and they're epic, especially during winter. Before the sun sets, it just like, even if it's only for 10 minutes, it changes the whole day. It brings a little something extra. And often, even if I just go out for like 10 minutes with like no particular location in mind, I just walk around the block or to campus and back or whatever, by the time I get home, I feel just like newly inspired to do something creative and stimulating with my time rather than just sitting around. Establishing a little routine in the morning and then at night to open and close the chapter of the day and not beating yourself up about it if you can't commit to it every day is like, some days we're gonna wake up and scroll on our phone first thing, and that's just how it might be sometimes. But beating ourselves up for breaking our routines or leaning into less healthy habits, that's in air quotes, won't do anything but create more cycles of shame. And so, like, don't beat yourself up if you can't do these things every day, but try to establish a little routine have a little something to be excited about when you wake up and when you go to bed. It's a really cute little thing, whether it's like your morning coffee ritual or massaging your face with oil before bed, braiding your hair, having a spoonful of honey with your breakfast, watching an episode of that new show you're watching that you really love. Just like finding a few things that make you feel excited about waking up and then also about going to bed that you can use as little bookmarks for your day. Other little updates that I just wanted to touch on to give you the scoop, the general scoop of what I've been filling my time with lately, you know, the classic school. I have been so stimulated by some of my classes. I'm taking this amazing class on the medicalization of sexuality, which I have been really inspired by in a lot of new ways. Some of the ideas are, you know, kind of the same repetitiveness throughout my degree. Like once you get to your fourth year, it's kind of, you know, there's like quite a strong foundation of similar concepts and ideas that you're really familiar with at this point. But this class is just like deepening them in this whole other way that is really exciting and stimulating to me. I'm also taking a class on witchcraft, magic, and religion, which has been really just like fun. It's been super silly and sweet and also interesting. Like the class is filled with so many people from so many different realms of study, and it's so rich and so interesting, like the history of magic and studying it from all these different angles. And of course, I'm really curious about how it connects to sexuality and desire and gender and these things that I am so enraptured by. And so that's like how I'm approaching a lot of the readings and the discussions and my reflections and whatnot. But it's also just been like really wonderful to do some reflecting on my relationship to magic and like my childhood and how I approach spirituality now. And I've been wanting to do a whole episode on spirituality sometime soon, because I think there's been some quite like transformative shifts in my own relationship to it within the past little while, I suppose. I've like come to some new realizations with myself and doing a lot of reflections on the evolution of my relationship to religion and spiritual practices over the course of my life, and just like all of the hills and the mountains and the seas that I have swam through and climbed and fell down from. And anyway, there's a whole wide world to open up there of discussion. And so that is potentially an episode to look forward to, as that has been quite opened up for me lately, and just like something I've been thinking about a lot. I even considered talking about it in this episode, but I think it deserves its own time to really just like take up all of the thoughts and the ideas and the tangents that it needs to, especially just like with how complicated my relationship is to spirituality. I haven't talked about it a lot on this podcast, but anyway, we don't need to get into that right now, but I'm just saying that's like potentially something to look forward to. So stay tuned for that. Other things present in my life currently. I mean, The Last of Us. Can we talk about it? I don't know how many of you are watching it, but oh my God, it's absolutely tearing my heart apart in all the best ways. I like didn't know about the video game until the show came out, and now that I know that it's based on a video game, I find it so interesting to watch, and like it, just like the visuals and the landscaping and like certain storylines, like you can tell when something happens at what point in the game that would be like you having to make a decision. And like anyway, I find that aspect of it really interesting. But also episode 3, can we talk about it? The tears that flowed all throughout that episode. Not spoiling anything for anyone who hasn't watched it. I don't want to ruin the amazingness of the show. But yeah, The Last of Us has definitely been a pillar of this current chapter of my life. Let's just say that. I don't know if there's like really any structure to this episode and how I feel about putting it out, but I'm just gonna put it out there. I hope that it finds you right where you are. I hope that it pulls something out of you, or maybe like hands you something that you can sit with and grapple with, hold in your sweet little palms. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get back into the habit of recording more regularly, but I wanted this like first episode to just be like a genuine like, hey, this is what's going on. Everything's fine. I'm not planning on quitting this sweet thing I've got going anytime soon. I am just trying to give myself some breathing room, but also recognizing that that could easily lead into me not holding myself accountable for doing this thing that I really love doing. So that's on me, and I'm just gonna, you know, do my thing. And I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what you want to talk about, what you want to hear from me. I've got a few little ideas tucked up my sleeve, but I always value your perspectives, and I am always around to connect, always around to have a little chat, a little book recommendation swap, a little TV show rant, whatever you want, I'm around. This felt so good to just like ease back into this, even though this was like kind of a silly episode and didn't necessarily have a lot of depth to it. I'm just happy to be chatting and happy to be hanging out with you in this little virtual space. So yeah, thanks so much for being here, and I will talk to you soon.